Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold and to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Mark Leslie with us, Haunted Hospitals. I love it. Tell us about Rhonda Parrish a little bit, Mark, and then we'll get back into the story.
So Rhonda is a writer and editor who lives in Alberta, Ontario. She is amazing. She does. She's got anthologies. She's got fiction that she writes. And she also just recently released Erie Edmonton, so Edmonton, Alberta, and that's a book that she co-authored with a psychic, basically a medium who explores haunted locations, and so she was great to work with.
Macabre Montreal, tell us about this one.
So another co-authored book. Shaina Krishnasamy is a colleague of mine, is a writer, and she lives in Montreal, Quebec. And she, again, I'm open to when people suggest collaborations. I love it. And Shaina said, well, hey, we could work on this book together. I live in Montreal. I can take some pictures. And it was a fascinating book. So Montreal is the second largest city in Canada. And
to Toronto, right? Toronto's the biggest, I would guess.
Toronto, yeah. So you've got Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal as the three largest cities, which are, you know, in compared to larger cities in the U.S., relatively small. But for us, they're big. And Montreal was fascinating because when I write a book of ghost stories about a city, either a city I live in or a city I love, I learn so much about the history of the city. I learn so much about that. And one of the most fascinating things related to hospitals in Montreal were the experiments that happened I'm sure you must have had guests on your show talking about Project MK Ultra.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Many. Yes, sure have.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of details at the Allen Memorial Institute, McGill University, and all of the terrifying things that happened in the hospitals there. So that was one of the things I didn't really know a lot about until I got into the book. And so, in a lot of cases, it's just the disturbing things that people do to one another. But again, when you think about the trauma that happens, you wonder, what did that trauma leave behind that's going to be on that location and is going to haunt people?
Well, absolutely. That's amazing. When I say Quebec, I sometimes say Quebec. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, I think you can do it either way. Quebec. there's no one way.
Were you born in Canada?
Yeah, I was born in Canada. I was born in Ontario. Yeah.
Oh, super. One of our hosts, Richard Serrett, who hails from the Toronto area.
I'm only about an hour and a half outside of the Toronto area.
I did a couple live shows, Mark, at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre in Toronto over the last
goodness.
Few years.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
If we ever do Canada again, and once they open up the borders, we'll make sure we have you as one of our live stage show guests.
Oh, that would be awesome. It would be awesome to see you in person. That would be an honor to see you in person. That'd be cool.
That would be fun. You go to a lot of places where you meet people. Do you get a lot of stories from them that way?
Oh yeah, it happens a lot, and people open up a lot. It seems to be people are willing to talk about and share ghost stories, and so one of the stories I got that I ended up using in Haunted Hospitals. I was doing a talk at Hamilton Public Library, and you know, at the end of the talk, I I sign books and I talk to people and stuff like that. And this one gentleman just kind of hung back at the very, very end. And we ended up going out for a coffee to talk about this story, because he was talking about an old hospital that had been a psychiatric hospital, Century Manor in Hamilton, which is one of the largest psychiatric facilities in the province back in its day. It was closed down now. It's basically an abandoned building, but it was connected to the larger hospital structure through these underground tunnels. Some disturbing stories. One of the ones that just stuck with me was, he was walking through the building and he heard voices at the end of this hallway, and it's an abandoned building. So he got to the end of it and he thought it's teenagers, right? He's like, oh, I'm going to catch them.
Yeah.
And he hears these voices. So he opens the door and there's two nurses standing there in that old fashioned nurse outfit garb. And they look like they're in the middle of a conversation. They both turn. And then the one turns back to the other one and said, see, I told you he could hear us.
Whoa.
Slammed the door.
Whoa.
And then he was trying to figure out what happened, opens the door again, and there's nothing there. And then about 10 minutes later, he was walking through a tunnel, and he felt this force, like there's this huge wind tunnel force, just kind of as if something was pushing at his back, trying to get him out. And he fled. This was back in the day, way before cell phones. He basically left the campus of the hospital, went to the nearest payphone, phoned his boss and said, I quit. I'm done. I'm not going back.
That was it for him, huh?
And that was it. He's like, I can't get paid enough to do this.
You travel a lot because of your job, don't you, as a writer?
Yeah, as a writer and somebody who works in the industry, I'm constantly on the road, which really gives me a chance to, you know, if I can take a detour to check out haunted locations, either that I'm writing about in the future or that I plan to write about, or even ones I've written about but I haven't seen yet.
Well, just about every city has something that's haunted that the community knows about, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And one of the things I recommend to people and I love to do is if I'm in a new city, I look for the local ghost walks, the historic ghost walks that they have. It's a fascinating way to learn more about a locale and have a really fun evening, obviously. You know, going for a walk, checking some things out, and hearing some really, really creepy tales.
Here in St. Louis, where I am right now, Mark, we have what is called the Lemp, L-E-M-P, Mansion. And the family that owned a brewery, of the Lemp Brewery, years ago, this is during the Anheuser-Busch early days and everything else.
Yeah.
This is a beer capital here. Lots of people from Germany came here, and they made beer. And, you know, Anheuser-Busch exploded into a giant company. Lemp Brewery was pretty good size, a long time ago. But anyways, members of the family, two or three of them, committed suicide in this mansion. And every Halloween, they open it up for tours. It's haunted. And, you know, and they go through the whole regalia of haunted things and things like that. But, that's another story for you.
Oh, I know, and I've been compiling stories for Spirits Untapped, which is haunted bars and breweries, so thank you so much. I'm making notes as you're telling me the stories. I have to go and add Lemp Mansion and Lemp Brewery and see what I can find, what stories I can find.
Yeah, L-E-M-P.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's fantastic.
What other spots have you been to that are somewhat haunted?
I think there was the in Weston, West Virginia, there was the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
The Lunatic? That's what they called it?
Yeah, that was the name of it. And Liz and I, my partner Liz and I, we were in Florida. We were in Orlando, and we were driving all the way back up to Ontario. And we got back to Western Virginia. I think it was like 14-hour drive or 17 hours. It's some crazy time. And we got to the town at about 1 in the morning. And because we wanted to do the ghost walks, we wanted to go because they had some haunted ghost walks and stuff. And we wanted to be able to get up in the morning, go on that, and then kind of get back home. And I have to say, the drive through the mountains in the fog when we're both really, really tired was just eerie and creepy in and of itself. Because as I mentioned, I'm afraid of the dark, right? So that was kind of creepy, but getting to see that. Now, this is interesting because this was a chapter Rhonda had written, so I'd only proofread it. I didn't get into the details and research the details. So it was fascinating for me to go visit it, get some pictures in person, and then go on a tour and understand it in the depths that Rhonda understood it as she had researched it for the chapter. And I always find that, especially when I co-author a book, I tend maybe not to dig into the details as much because you kind of rely on your co-author to do all of that research. But that was a fascinating tour. We didn't see anything, unfortunately, but got a great picture of a wheelchair that our guide had shared. And it was great. It was only Liz and I on this one tour because it was a quiet day. And
right.
So we basically got to monopolize all of his time and ask him a million questions. And I got some pictures of that. And then there's this weird room where these bats had come in, and he kind of freaked us out a little bit because
Ooh.
He kind of walked up to the door and he just kind of pounded on the door, and then something pounded back immediately and was this really freaky noise and this screeching. And then he said, no, that's just bats. And he explained it. And I'm like, oh my God, that was terrifying.
I know they're all God's creatures, but bats are ugly little animals.
You know? Yeah, like flying rats, right?
I got to tell you, I mean, it's unbelievable. You spend a lot of time in hotels. Ever get into a dive hotel that was haunted?
Actually, that same trip, it was that night when Liz and I got into Weston, West Virginia, about 1 a.m. We were exhausted. We pulled into the first hotel. I run in because she's driving. I run in. They don't have a single room left. She said, okay, another mile down the road, there's another one. So we went into this, I think it was an Econo Lodge, and I get in, and it was almost like one of those creepy horror stories because I get to the desk, and I said, do you have any rooms? She said, well, we have one room left, but it's two double beds. We don't have a king or a queen or anything. I said, you know, we're exhausted. We're just going to want to go to bed. So we check into the room, and Liz takes the bed nearest the bathroom, and I take the one nearest the door, and I you know, I'm a scared kind of guy, so I'm always listening for things like that. And on our trip, we had stayed at a dive hotel that was a lot lesser quality and in a scary neighborhood, and it was one of the ones where we actually slept on top of we didn't sleep in the sheets. We brought in blankets from the car because we just didn't want to sleep on them, and we even pulled furniture in front of the door because we thought, you know, what if someone breaks in? And so I wake up in the night. Liz pulls a hoodie overhead. She rolls over. She's asleep in 30 seconds. It takes me a long time to fall asleep. So I finally fall asleep, and I had left my contacts in, which is another important thing. So
were they the kind I hope you could sleep with?
Yeah, they're the ones. I normally take them out every night, but they're the kinds you can wear for
at least you won't lose your top of your eye or anything. Like
that. No, nothing like that. So I wake up and I see this woman at the end of the bed. I hear shuffling feet, and I see this woman walking towards the bathroom. And so I lay there and I go, okay, Liz is going to the washroom. And I wait for her to turn on the bathroom light, and I wait for her, and nothing happens. And then I can hear her breathing in the bed beside me. And I went, oh my God, there's a woman in our room. And I sat up and I freaked out and was like, no, okay, Mark, you were dreaming. And maybe I thought, okay, I was awake. She got up, went to the washroom. Then I fell asleep. And I woke up maybe 10 minutes later and thought that it only 2 seconds had passed. So it explained it away. But I did check. I looked at, you know, the latch was still on the door. Our passports were still on the table, laptops, everything. Everything was fine. Then later on, I wake up and I hear sort of this clunk on the table at the end of my bed. And I was like, oh, my God, someone's in our room. Someone's in the room. And again, I sat up and I freaked out. Nope, she's sleeping. Everything's fine. So the next morning I mentioned to her, yeah, it's kind of funny. Did you get up and go to the washroom? And she said, oh my God, no, I didn't get up once. You know, I went to bed and that was it. And then, so I explained to her what I thought I saw and laughed it off. And then she got this really pale look on her face. She turned to me and she said, well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I was laying in bed and I felt a presence over me. I felt a hand touch my shoulder and I thought it was you, but it didn't feel like you. It didn't sense like me. And she thought there was a woman in the room who was trying to steal stuff.
Wow.
And so she steeled herself up, because she's brave, unlike me. She steeled herself up and was ready to swing around and just punch her, and there was no one there. And so that was a really freaky experience for the two of us. We couldn't explain it. Checked with the hotel, the front desk, to see if anyone else had experienced stuff, and I haven't been able to find anything in my research about that place. But we believe that there was a woman in that room.
That's creepy.
Experienced.
Mark Leslie with us. His book is called Haunted Hospitals. He co-wrote it with Rhonda Parrish. I always mention the co-writer, even though they may not be on the show, Mark, because a lot of times I envision them at home listening to you or listening to their co-writer, and the host never mentions who they are. And I'm, you know, I would never want that to happen to me. That's disappointing, you know. Just
oh, for sure.
You mentioned my so Rhonda, if you're out there listening, we mention you.
And she's awesome. To yeah,
sure. Super. Now, there's something very weird about you that I have to bring up. Do you actually travel around in your car with a full skeleton next to you?
I do. Yeah, Barnaby Bones. Now he's not an actual human skeleton. He's plastic, but he's a life-size skeleton.
But he looks real to people, right?
Yeah, he looks real to people, and it's kind of part of my author brand. So when I'm at a book signing, I'm at an event, I'm sitting at a mall store, and I've got my books in front of me. Barnaby's beside me because it does one of two things. For people who are interested in the macabre, interested in ghost stories, the eerie, the supernatural, whatever, they see a skeleton and it's like a beacon. So they can come and talk to me. They know it's okay. If they don't like that kind of stuff, they know to stay away from the crazy man, right? Like stay away from him. He's kind of creepy. The other thing that's great about that is it's a great icebreaker because pretty much everyone will come up and make a joke about, hey, your buddy looks like he needs to eat or he's been waiting here long or whatever. And it's a great catalyst for conversation. But because I take him to so many events, I just leave him in the car. I actually have four Barnabys.
He sits up in the car so people can see him if they drive or walk by?
Yeah. He actually sits in my passenger seat or he sits in the back seat. Right now, I actually have two Barnabys. I have one in the passenger seat and one in the back seat.
Have you ever been stopped by law enforcement because of them?
Yeah, one night I was going to do the book launch for Spooky Sudbury, and I was driving after work. I was heading up, and it was about 1 in the morning. Do you have ride programs where you're from, where they check to see if you were drinking and driving?
Oh, yeah, and checkpoints and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm on this deserted highway heading up north to Sudbury, Ontario, and there's a ride program, so they're stopping cars. And so I've got Barnaby with his seatbelt on right beside me, strapped in. And I'm driving up, and, you know, the officer, I rolled down the window, and he says, you know, where are you heading? I said, oh, I'm heading to Sudbury, Ontario. And he said, have you had anything to drink? And I said, no, officer, I haven't had any drink. He said, how about your buddy? And I went, and I kind of looked, because you're not sure if you should joke or not. I said, oh, officer, alcohol goes right through him. And then he got a serious look on his face, and he goes, no, seriously, what's with the stiff? At which point I said, oh, well, I'm on my way to launch a book, Spooky Sudbury. And I reached into the back seat where I had some copies. I said, would you like a copy? I could sign one for you. So I imagine he has a story now to tell his colleagues.
Yeah, that's got to be a strange one that he tells his buddies all about.
Exactly.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health 8 kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health 8 Kombucha today.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.